You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey everyone, welcome to the show. This is What Makes Me Well, and I am your host, Asada Jones. In addition to being your host, I'm a yoga teacher, a voice actor, and occasionally an audiobook narrator. You can learn more about me by following me across socials at Asada Jones or visiting my website, asadajones.com. That's Asada with one S and two T's. On What Makes Me Well, I sit down with the people I admire and we talk about different aspects of their well-being, what they're doing to be well, and the support systems they have in place to maintain that well-being. Because everyone is so different and working on different aspects of themselves, the topics we cover run the gamut. From sexual well-being to fiscal well-being, we're talking about it. This show is all about giving you tools to feel well in every aspect of your life. And this season, listeners, I'm kicking things off with a fresh new start. What Makes Me Well has relaunched under Grab Bag Collab Network, and I couldn't be more excited about it. The timing couldn't be better either. With the new year upon us, it's the perfect time to reflect on your overall well-being, assess the tools you have in your well-being toolkit, and maybe add a few new tools into the mix. On this episode, I'm sitting down with everyone's favorite Instagram therapist, Allison Dineen, also known as Notes from Your Therapist. Listeners, if you've ever wondered what inner child work actually is, what it looks like in real life, and want insights into how to begin giving yourself what you really needed growing up, this episode is for you. This was a really special episode to record for me because after years of DMing each other online and sending voice notes back and forth, recording this episode was actually the first time Allison and I formally met. We became acquainted years ago when I messaged her on Instagram after she shared a particularly moving post that completely blew me away. It felt like she took some of the most complicated feelings I had about life and loss and summed them up into one perfect sentence written on a scrap of paper. I mean, listeners, have you ever read something so profound, something that hits you so hard, you feel almost dizzy after reading it? Okay, so if you don't know who Allison Dineen is, aka Notes from Your Therapist is, allow me to introduce you. Allison Dineen is a practicing marriage and family therapist and a mental health counselor. She specializes in emotions, namely grief, emotional neglect, and relationships. She runs the wildly popular Instagram page, Notes from Your Therapist, as well as her self-titled Substack. Allison is also the author of the book Notes from Your Therapist, which was published in 2018. She's currently writing her second book, a memoir, in which she opens up about her life and the thread of grief that runs through it. See, the reason that Allison is so skilled in writing about complicated emotions and grief is because living with complicated emotions and grief has kind of been the theme of her life. Allison's life has been marked by two great losses. The loss of her mother in a tragic flight accident in her early childhood, and then later by the loss of her husband and the father of her child in a tragic logging accident. Both of these losses and the ramifications of them left Allison in uncharted territory and figuring out life on her own. When her mother died, her father, completely unequipped to live life as a single father and deal with his grief and deal with his children's grief, sent her and her younger siblings to live with distant relatives for a while and then remarried out of convenience. In her new family, Allison found that any mention of her late mother was just too much for everyone to handle, so over time, she just stopped talking about her mom. Understandably, that brought up a lot of emotions for Allison growing up, and I can only assume that it was then that she started writing to process everything. Now, fast forward some years, and Allison is married. She's finished school, she's a practicing mental health professional, and she just gave birth to her third child. It's then that her husband dies in a logging accident. And thrown back into active grief by yet another violent accident, Allison has no choice but to start the process of healing and rebuilding all over again. Not just for herself this time, but for her child. And that's just what she did. In 2015, she began sharing her thoughts on life, love, loss, and grief on Instagram. She was one of the only therapists on the platform at that time talking about emotional pain firsthand with such vulnerability. Understandably, her profile just blew up. Over 400,000 people, including myself, follow her account for her gem drops and honest reflections. And my goodness, does she have them. And this episode is no different, listeners. Like I said at the top, this episode was really special to record. Allison and I talked for over 2 hours, and I even got some free therapy in at the end. I mean, talk about a win, you know? Now, as much as I want to drop our entire conversation uncut into this podcast feed, I won't do that to you. But have no fear, y'all, because what I do have cooked up is very good. In our conversation, Allison shares with me her current recipe for her well-being. We get into what living an emotionally corrective and emotionally minimal lifestyle is, what it looks like, and why living that way is key for her. Now, without further ado, my chat with Allison Dineen, aka Notes from Your Therapist.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper. Distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at Remarkable.com today.
Allison, thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to What Makes Me Well.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to chat with me. And I'm just so thankful that we've created this relationship over the last, what, I want to say like 4 years or something like that, maybe longer over Instagram and through messages and stuff like that. I'm just so thankful that we're getting this opportunity to chat. And I get to see your face.
And people minimize social media. You know, it's not all bad. I've made some really valuable, authentic, really nice friendships and met people that way. So it's really good to be like not throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, exactly that. I've learned that sliding into DMs and making friends, authentic friendships, that's my specialty. So thanks for being part of this.
So happy. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
All right. So let's get into this. I wanted to chat with you about the pillar of wellness that you're currently tending to. So my first question to you is, if you were to make a recipe for your well-being right now,
what would that recipe be?
I think, so what I'm focusing on right now lately, I definitely think it's about, I don't know if there's a term for it, but I call it emotional minimalism, emotional simplicity. Oh, it's sort of about minimalism and simplicity as a wraparound value or sort of a container for my life right now.
Yeah.
And I can say so much more about that because you know how a lot of things kind of start before you recognize you're doing it.
Yeah.
And then you sort of start to see the value of something and it kind of expands on its own into more areas of my life. I think that's what I've been finding lately. And it kind of started with a Substack post I wrote not that long ago. And it was just a simple one, but it sort of was like front of mind. And I think it really started to grow from there in a more conscious way.
That's really interesting. So can you share more about that?
Sure. Is it okay to give it a little backstory before, so I can take you back a bit and then I'll bring you to that point?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I think where it comes from, and because you follow my Instagram account, you can probably tell a lot about me already. And the main things that I feel like I'm talking about there are emotions, grief, and childhood. Mm-hmm. And how, for me, those are all a big feature of my life. So they go back kind of to the beginning. Mm-hmm. And I think what life is about for me right now is, I've heard therapists call it an emotionally corrective experience. So I'm very interested in recovering from things I didn't get during my childhood. And so now I feel like the way that I'm interested in living life is as an emotionally corrective experience for the things I didn't get from being a neglected kid in a kind of scary, traumatized household. So it's kind of like creating it for myself now as a way of life.
Can you take me back before you started intentionally making those emotional corrections? What did it look like? What did it feel like when you were just kind of going through it? Was it like a survival mode? Was it not really thinking about how your life and your state of emotion was affecting your life and your children? What did that look like?
I think it was survival mode. Thanks for using those words, because it really was just a lot of survival basics, like making sure everyone was safe. The older kids were struggling, you know, at various times with their own trauma around the thing and school. And so it was really taking care of other people's needs. So mine were kind of being, neglected. And I think because of my childhood also, I was raised to never need any help. Like, it was shameful to need help. Needing, you know, what could be more obvious? This is the job of parents, is to protect their children and help them and notice when they need you. But my adults, you know, in my life weren't equipped for that.
Yeah.
So that leaves you as a child thinking that it's wrong to need anyone, that it's wrong to need protection, that it's wrong to not know how to do things.
That's wrong to just need attention and to be seen.
To need attention. Exactly. That's one thing they used to say. You just want attention. I'm like, heck yes. Now I say that to clients, like, of course you do. Let me give you some attention. Let's pay attention to what you're needing right now. But there was so much shame around, you know, for so many people. It's just generations of people who themselves couldn't need anyone. So they grew up with that themselves. I think it was really their own survival mode as well.
And your need triggered their
exactly.
No one helped me.
Yeah. No one helped me. I had to figure it out on my own. That's how you're supposed to grow up.
Yeah.
So that took a long time during the grief period and just kind of getting back on my feet to get to the point where I could ask for help. And then another thing sort of started to come into place in sort of minimalism was if I was going to reach out for help, and that could just mean like calling someone up who will listen to that, I'm not doing well today, or can you help me pick up my oldest child or something like that, I really quickly learned that I would do that and some people didn't like that or weren't able to or whatever. Like they had their own reasons and that part doesn't matter. It's okay. But I found out that some people could, or they had different ways of showing up. Like what I ended up doing, what was happening at that point was this kind of sorting of who in my life was really more of an acquaintance or was actually kind of on their way out of my life. And who were like the core inner circle people that I could lean on. So this happened like gradually over time. Right, I started to realize that this person's great for like practical things. Let me go with you to pick up your car. I'll take you to pick up your car. Or this friend could be called in the middle of the night for an emotional crisis. Or this other friend has great advice on who to call if you need like a new mechanic or something like that. So it's kind of like, wow, noticing who the people in your life are and what they like doing. And I realized this is a corrective experience from childhood. We don't have to be good at everything. When you're raised to be on your own, like you have to solve all your problems on your own, that creates this idea that you have to be good at everything. Absolutely everything, because no one's looking out for you.
Yep.
And now what I've realized is, oh, I don't have to be good at everything. My friend is great at organizing and goals and breaking things down, but I'm not good at that. And I don't have to be good at that or like it, because I'm really good at having hard conversations with people and holding space for things that are really excruciatingly painful that you can't talk about with anybody else, or that after the catastrophe is over and everyone in your life has moved on, you still need to process. I'm the kind of person that will feel so needed and want to be able to do that. So that was another area of figuring out who the key people were in my life and kind of letting it be okay that some people couldn't handle it or just can't be there. Sometimes there's just an end to a lot of relationships and we just have to, we have to be able to let ourselves grieve. I think the grief thing is the sort of cohesive organizational piece. It's funny. I was having coffee with a friend one day and talking about the book I'm trying to write, which is a memoir. Well, it's been years in the works, so I hope you don't have to wait too much longer, but I'm so struggling with it.
When you're ready, I will be here to read every single page.
Thank you so much. Well, I was saying, I don't know, like, what is the whole, like, gist? What is the message or the theme? And she said, Allison, grief is the organizing force in your life.
Wow.
And it was like, I knew that because I knew it in a sort of down here level,
like
looking very closely at it. It was so obvious that I never realized, oh my gosh, it really is.
Yeah.
And it is the force that puts everything in perspective in my life.
Yeah.
It helps me through the hard times. For example, letting go of friendships that can't be what they used to be, or what we both wish they could be, but that time is over. It helps me prioritize what's truly important to me, because it's not going to be everything. We're not going to be able to do everything, be everything, have everything. So you really have to focus on what the core things are that give you meaning. So that was the core friends, the core relationships, the core daily rituals in my life that give me meaning. Because if that's one thing grief teaches you, is that life is a freaking catastrophe at any possible moment. We never know. So this is the self-care part, which is, this is how I maintain my stamina for the long haul.
Yeah.
Because when whatever the next catastrophe is that will come unexpectedly into my life, as it always does and always will for all of us, I don't want to be stretched so thin I have no resources.
Right.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
So that's why I take care of myself in super small ways every day.
Yeah.
Like a perfect cup of coffee with a friend, or a few minutes writing, you know, posting on my Instagram, or, you know, so many things, like a few minutes stolen in the car while I'm waiting for someone, reading a book. So I always keep a book on me.
Yeah.
And those little things are so perfect and so nourishing that they are what feeds my ongoing kind of stamina for life.
Yeah. It's the fitness. What it sounds like to me is that, as you wrote, I just shared today an older post of yours that started off with being willing and able to grieve allows you to open up, essentially allows you to open yourself up to the other parts of life. And I feel like maybe the acceptance of grief, the acceptance of those emotions, that was the correction of what you didn't get when you were younger. And that allows you to have that emotional stamina. Because if you weren't opening yourself up to grief, or if you weren't open to that, then you don't have the emotional stamina to go on to do what you do, to help other people, to be a present parent. And you're right, it stems from the suppression from your childhood in the very beginning. I think that's so powerful.
That suppression is huge. And I think that is a force against stamina, because if you have something you are grieving, but you're just like, don't think about it, it's in the past, don't feel it. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It's already there.
Yeah.
You're just holding it back. It's already there.
Yeah. And I want to preface with our to listeners that the grief that we're talking about in your case could be grief of loss. But I'm also hearing there was a bit of grief about who you wanted to be, like your mom, versus who you actually are. And I think that's an, man, that is a power. I think if we allow ourselves to just grieve who we thought we could be, or we thought, but life deals us cards and we do the best we can with them. And we are the people that we are because of that. But if we don't grieve, you know, like, man, I actually was having this conversation with my husband. We were going for a walk and I was just saying, you know, talking about a relationship with someone. And I was just saying, I'm okay. I'm at a point right now where I'm okay with where things are. I know it's not going to be what I want it to be. And I know it's not going to be what I know it could be. But a relationship needs two people to be successful. And that other person isn't willing to do the work in order for us to have a healthy relationship. And that's okay. But I will always carry this bit of grief with me. And that's okay too. And right. that last part, that, and that's okay too, I'm genuinely just getting to. But, you know, it's so hard because we're taught, oh, it is what it is. And just, you know, it is what it is, accept it and move on. But
right. Not to care, not to have feelings about anything. It's better to not have feelings about things. But I think what people don't understand is you can actually have feelings about things and live with it.
Bingo.
In other words, it's okay.
Yeah.
Because honestly, I think this is another holdover from childhood. Understandably, we grew up thinking if we had strong feelings about anything, you know, if I started crying about missing my mother, that would have been a catastrophe for me.
Yeah.
It would have been really dangerous and risky for me. So when you're a child, you're not wrong. It really is not safe to have certain feelings or to say like this affected me or what you're screaming is affecting me. Coming into the present of now, it's like that old childhood experience is still inside of us. Yes. Like it's dangerous to have feelings about a past relationship that I couldn't fix or feelings about things. But the difference is now what you said, I'm going to be okay if I have feelings about it. It wasn't safe to growing up, but it is now.
Yeah.
It's safe to have complicated, unresolved, confusing emotions about things and go on with life.
Yeah.
Because it takes us forward anyway. And I feel like if we can hold those things close, those unresolved emotions we have while we go forward without it having to be an either or question or an either or decision, we're whole then. It's like we're not demanding ourselves to be perfect to go forward in life. Perfect meaning apparently unscathed, unwounded, unaffected by anything that's ever happened. It's like we're supposed to be robots or something.
Yeah, 100%. Was there ever a point when you were thinking about resuming your therapy practice where you were just like, I'm not healed enough. I'm not perfect enough to do this. And if so, what was that like? And what was the moment that you, I don't want to say snapped out of it because it's never really, you wake up and you're right. Like, oh, I'm great. But what was that change? And what did that look like? I think listeners can benefit from just hearing that not everybody, especially somebody that works in healthcare, they're not perfect, but it doesn't mean that they can't help you, right?
Right. Well, I'm glad you asked that question because I have a really strong memory about that. And it absolutely 100% in the years that followed my husband's death, I thought, I am so broken. I will never be able to be a therapist again. Mm-hmm. I'm barely, you know, the only people who I can emotionally support right now are my kids. I can't even imagine supporting another person well, you know, which it turns out now that's the purpose in my life is to connect and to be there for other people because that's what I didn't have growing up. So loyalty and commitment and stamina is the purpose of my life now. And to do that requires me to take care of me first. But when I got to the point of I don't even know how it happened. It was partly financial. I needed to go back to work.
Yeah. That is a real thing. And that affects your overall well-being too. I mean, we chatted about this before we started recording. Financial wellness. It was kind
of an intersection. Yeah. Yes, I needed that stability financially. My daughter had started school, so I was beginning to feel the weight diminish on who having to be the sole supporter. In other words, school and teachers also help with supporting kids, hopefully. And so I started contemplating going back to work. And I actually called my old therapist from when I was in my 20s, and he was so much older now. And I just called him and we chatted a bit sometimes. And I said to him, I still remember it makes me feel like so sad for my innocent self, you know, that I said to him, but who's, like I said, I live in a small town.
Yeah.
So I said, but who's going to come to see me as a therapist? Everyone knows what I've been through. Like, who's going to come see me? And he was just like, what are you talking about? They'll know you have the capacity for pain because you've been through it. You're not like, you're not hiding it. It's not like it hangs out there in my therapy practice, but the people who call me because they know that about me. So in other words, we're hiding the very things when we pretend we're unaffected by life that help us connect to other people and help us be, you know, a light along the way. It's not like I think I'm some wise sage on the top of a mountain who knows it all. I'm just stumbling my way forward in life as well.
Yeah.
I might be a little ahead of someone else. And there's someone ahead of me, thank goodness. That was my old therapist.
I mean, isn't it wonderful? So when you spoke to your therapist, you're like, okay, got this information. Was it a, all right, hit the ground running, get back into it? Or was it a, let me sit on this for a little bit. Did somebody else reaffirm?
Well, I think it was a slow process, which is another one of the things that I pay attention to. Mm-hmm. Whenever possible, I take things really, really slowly that are scary for me. Because again, as a child, I was thrown into so much. Everything was like violence and
yes,
sudden being ambushed by everything. So to be able to like, it just calms my nervous system to say, I have to take baby steps with this. So it started really, really slowly, like with one person and just sort of adjust to that. And, you know, it's like, I guess it's like exposure therapy on myself, you know, just baby steps to getting used to doing this new thing in a new way. And it was really just like my therapist saying that was just in a way, kind of the internal click that I needed, mm-hmm. which is why it's so helpful to, you know, have people you trust and can count on in life, friends, therapists, you know, whoever they are, because I have found, you know, a lot of my work is just my own processing and growing slowly over time. But sometimes I have really had someone say something that like flips a switch to a blind spot you didn't even know you had.
Yeah.
Because when he said that, it was like, your grief is the thing, Allison. Why are you hiding it? Why are you thinking you need to hide it before you can get back into therapy? Mm. That I didn't realize, oh, I thought I had to have that done. And what's the expression? Done and dusted. Done and dusted. Yes. I thought I had to have grief done and dusted to be a sort of of, you know, a professional therapist or something.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world. Again, get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
So I wanted to get back to the emotional minimalism. So we talked a bit about emotional correction, which I think is a wonderful term, but the emotional minimalism, can you talk to me about how that allow you to show up in your professional life?
I think the sort of simplicity to the way I want life to be now, or the minimalism, just gives me more capacity, because otherwise I feel very overwhelmed and scattered. And it looks like, well, I'll just give you like the highlight reel. It's really just in a few categories. Of course, people always think with minimalism, don't they think about like decor?
Yes,
like your
that's
house
what I was thinking. I thought we were going to be talking about like your office.
Yeah, no, it kind of started that way. I just noticed that I have had to move a lot. And just because I live in one of those areas that got really shifted after the pandemic, mm-hmm. I rent. And so housing went away and people yeah. were, you know, a lot of change. So I've moved a lot. And each time it's like, I just want less and less. And my kids know, like, don't leave stuff around because mom will throw it out. I love throwing things out.
Me
because
too.
I just need space. And I don't even mind moving in a way because it's a chance to throw stuff out. You know, like I never opened that box. Okay. I'm just going to chuck it because I don't know what's in there. I didn't miss it.
Oh, man, so there has to be something about that though, because if both of us yeah. had like somewhat chaotic and traumatic childhoods and we both love yes. to throw things away, that yeah. there's something there.
Definitely. So it's like the least clutter. I'd almost have, you know, I prefer to have a bedroom with like a bed and a night table and really nothing else, nothing else. It just sort of, it's less on my mind. And then other things are like, it kind of spread from there. It wasn't even, I was thinking about this as a plan. I realized for years, I have a uniform I wear now. I have like these key things that I wear and I just buy the exact same thing. And I wear that pretty much every single day, the same key things. Yeah. And because I don't want to think about it, yeah. I like them. Yeah. And I feel like I just don't want to think about it anymore. The other things are I have a particular set of foods that I eat. They're pretty healthy and I just rather eat the same thing pretty much day after day. I don't have to think too much about that.
Yeah, it's such a small shift, but mm-hmm. because of all of the benefits, I can imagine it allows you just to show up better. Like being pain-free is such a gift. And I think the general population takes it for granted, being able to move without pain or without restriction. Right. It's one of the things I cherish the most about my wellness journey or my health journey is that I didn't grow up in a family that prioritized physical health. My grandmother, she was a double amputee, and my goal, her legs, I should be specific, her legs, because she dealt with blood clots and there was a lot of health issues. So my personal goal in life is just to die with both legs on. That is right. the least that I can do. And everything else is a benefit. Everything else is a benefit. I remember once I hurt my back and the pain went throughout my entire body. And I just broke down and I just cried because I could not being able to move freely in my body was it was the worst restriction. It felt like such a prison. And I just felt like I couldn't I couldn't teach. I couldn't show up as a teacher. I couldn't be present with my husband because it's like, I'm in pain. I really can't support you with what you're feeling, or I can't really be present with what you're feeling because I am like dying right now.
Right. It makes us realize how much we really do depend on our body. That's part of the stamina piece, yes, right? Like yes. you need to be feeling okay.
Yeah. And parenting, like being a parent while you're having your own. I mean, that's definitely one of the reasons why I have we're child free, because I feel like I haven't done enough of like the basic, like I haven't tended to what I really want to tend to in order to be a good mother. And I know that right now. So I think about people that are in chronic pain or people that, you know, have dietary issues and how that affects their parenting. And, you know, right. that has to be hard because it's not for a lack of you don't want to, you know, right. you want to be there.
There's so much when, you know, we have busy lives and then throw in pain too. Then there's like so much noise about what we have to manage in life. And it's like, where do you begin?
Yeah,
with your responsibilities that you have. You have to power through so much, yeah. but you're in pain. It's just, it makes then having something happen, like what happened to you, makes you realize, oh my gosh, like my body is actually sort of one of the main things that's going to help me, that I really depend on.
It's my home. It's also, right. I use my body to work. I'm a yoga teacher. I was an right. aerialist at that time. I'm a voice actor. Uh-huh. When I lost my voice once and I went into a panic. I was like, well, I'm never working again. I guess now it's time to turn to OnlyFans for these feet pics. Like, what are we? You know, but also if my diet is crap and I have to chop off my leg, I ain't got a foot to make, you know?
Right. Oh my gosh. You really do depend on your body.
I really, really do. So I wonder what that shift with your diet, how did that affect your home life and your daughter? Did she kind of freak out, or was she like, listen, that's your journey?
Well, she's completely the opposite. She's like a mono foods person in a completely different direction, though. She's been a vegetarian since she was a baby. So, and I eat a lot of meat. Oh, so wow. We are like within our house, it's polar opposites, and it's fine. We're just like really cool. We're like, you're weird, mom. And I'm like, could you eat a few more eggs once in a while or something?
Well, I'm sure she was glad that you took your diet a little bit more. I don't want to say more seriously, but you approached it in a bit more of a healthier way.
Yeah. I think it's nice because also, you know, being a concerned mom, of course, I let her know what my concerns are, but I really sort of believe in people having sort of free will too, especially when you're a teenager. You need to feel like you're being supported and knowing what makes you feel best and what is, you know, just sort of that sort of individuation and self-determination thing. So I try to respect her, even though sometimes I worry she's eating too many, whatever, chips or something like that, you know.
Too much tofu. Be careful.
Right. The funny thing is she doesn't eat much in the way of vegetables or tofu. Oh, it's like,
okay. You know, hey, that's okay too.
It's bread and it's like dairy and it's all white foods.
Oh, okay. Well, listen, I was a vegetarian for about 2 years, and I can honestly say it was one of the most unhealthiest parts of my life because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, oh, right. Just take out meat. And then I think it was like put carbs in place of meat.
Oh, right,
it wasn't very smart, but I respect people that can be a vegetarian and they are experimenting with their diet, or, you know, it works for them. It's like, hey, if that works for you, great. But again, I don't cook. So when my husband decided to go to cooking school, I said, hey, I guess we're eating whatever's presented to us.
Yeah, exactly. That's nice.
Oh my gosh. I have so many takeaways from this. I could talk to you forever, honestly. I have a therapist here, but I just might hire you so we can just chit chat. It'd be great. I know I will walk away better person.
My friend once told, my best friend was telling someone who I sort of acquaintance now. It's another friend. And she said, would you see Allison as a therapist? And she was like, Allison is my therapist. We're friends. So it's kind of built in.
So
can come for free.
There we go. I love it. My gosh. So many takeaways. Thank you so, so much. Thank you for sharing all of this with me. And thank you for sharing this with the listeners. I want people to know where they can find you. We've mentioned Instagram. You are Notes from Your Therapist. Where else can people find you, and how can they contact you if they want to explore or talk about their own grief or their own emotional healing?
Right. So Instagram is sort of like a one-stop place because I think I have my website in my bio there. But if people aren't on Instagram, I do have a website and it's just my name, AllisonDeneen.com. Maybe it's in like the notes or something with your podcast.
Yes, I'll have it in the show notes and everything.
That kind of thing. Yeah, I guess that's the main thing. I mainly hang out on Instagram, and then I started writing more on Substack. Yes. I have my website, and I think the main project I'm working on right now is that memoir about trying to talk about all this stuff somehow, packaging all this stuff like a life and sort of figuring out from being in therapy, being a therapist is how human beings persevere in a world that's really challenging to all of us and process our grief and show up for each other and deal with the chaos that's all around us all the time.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. As you can tell, I like pack a lot in. I'm sorry if it was a bit much.
No, this is all good things and all very important takeaways that I know that the listeners will have. So thank you again for sharing everything. And yeah, I'll see you in the DMs. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
All right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
And I am back. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I feel so honored that Allison agreed to come on the show. she legit turns interviews down. So the fact that I got a yes from her is just amazing. So thank you again, Allison, for coming on the show and speaking so candidly with me about your life, your support systems, and your wellness journey. I'm looking forward to the next time you come on the show and we get to talk about that finished memoir. Listeners, if you aren't already, go follow Allison on Instagram at Notes from Your Therapist and subscribe to her brilliant Substack for more of her writing. And of course, if you want to work with her to unpack your own emotions, contact her on her website. All links will be in the show notes. Last but most certainly not least, listeners, if you aren't already, follow me, Asada Jones, and follow this show, What Makes Me Well, on Instagram. Show some love. Let me know that you're out there and share this podcast on your stories to let others know that you're a fan and that they should subscribe to the show. All right, y'all, that's all I got for this episode. Until next time, be well.
When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.